You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you're joining us today. And this is part two of Mary and Martha as we come around the book of Luke. And, you know, for all of us at the moment, we are discovering an incredible journey that the whole world is going through at the moment. And there are so many lessons that we are learning in this journey. But one thing that you need to be reminded of this morning is that Jesus is the one who is leading your journey. And sometimes, for all of us, we need to be reminded of who is leading and why we need to follow. More time at the moment. We've all been given time where we're thinking about experiences, where we're thinking about the journeys that we have encountered in our life. And I want to tell you about a journey that I've been thinking about this week. Well, the year is 2002 and down tools in my life has been declared, and life as I know it as a hairdresser has been swapped for mountaintop experiences in California, working at an outdoor camp. Can you see it now? The journey has started for life as I have not ever known it. And we certainly both had some qualifications for this role. The reason we were going was my husband, Lee. As an outdoor teacher, he is a fit mountain climbing, outdoor sailing, deep sea diving, cycling type of person. And me, well, I wasn't exactly unfit. I was doing weights regularly. The weight I was constantly carrying around from all the secret Tim Tams that I was eating, carrying on the inside of me. So with all the necessary qualifications, Lee and I both set out to California as camp counselors. Lee was in charge of the overnight camping where we would walk through valleys and mountaintops with 20 or so teenagers. So this one particular afternoon, we had the most delightful group of teenagers who had so much attitude, it wasn't funny. So Lee, in all his wisdom and experience, did something that I had no clue to what he was doing. He responded to their attitudes by walking us for miles and miles on a hot day, going up one side of the mountain and down the next for what seemed like hours. And believe me, it was hours. And at this point, hot, exhausted, and completely frustrated, I absolutely knew that we were lost. So with this great insight, I approached my husband and ever so quietly had a conversation stating just that. Lee, we are lost. You are leading us up the garden path and you don't know where we are. Then came his response. I know exactly where we are, Naomi, and what I am doing. Well, I was now completely mad and frustrated, and with great pouting, I stormed off while trying to quietly conceal my emotions as a professional camp counselor. As we arrived at our destination point, he knew exactly what he was doing and what was needed. The kids were exhausted, so exhausted that they couldn't even talk, let alone give any attitude to us. So exhausted that defenses came down and their emotions became present. That night we sat around a campfire as one by one they were sharing their hearts, giving voice to their wounded hearts, and were met by defining moments of encouragement that refreshed them, healed them, and completely changed them. This journey that God is leading you on is never just about you. It's about transforming you and every life around you that God has called you to affect and change because of Jesus Christ who leads in you. And in Luke chapter 10, let us go back to this same story in the story of Mary and Martha this morning. We are on a journey. This morning, there are lessons in the journey that we are all learning in this time. Jesus visits Martha and Mary, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. This morning, we are all on journeys, but can we value the journey and find the rest that God is calling us to position ourselves into? Valuing the journey and finding the rest. Do you know that that is God's plan and purpose for you? That along this journey that He is leading you, that He's going to cause you to find rest. You know, this was a continual journey that Jesus and the disciples were on. One that led to the destination of Mary and Martha, and it started a journey that transformed their hearts in a profound way. Jesus knows the value of your journey, and sometimes we need reminding of who is leading us and who it is that we are following. Mary sat down, verse 39, attentively before the Master, absorbing every single revelation, everything that He had to say. He had her attention. And she came to a place of rest. For my journey in the mountains as a camp counselor, it wasn't just about what was happening internally to me. God was teaching me to not only see what was happening on the inside, but what was happening around me. He was showing me how to be attentive to not only receive rest, but how to give rest. The rest of knowing that He is your source, a place of true abundance. Mary could not leave this place of rest because she was understanding. She was encountering a place of true rest that came from His words, words that were giving her such abundance. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the first thing He told the weary, hungry crowd was to sit down and to rest. But what did they rest in? We see it in Matthew 14, 19, and He directed the people to sit on the grass. The grass, a space, an open field that had been clothed with the provision of His abundance. Matthew 6, 25 says, God clothes the grass of the field. Jesus was telling them, Jesus is telling you this morning, as you rest, you will sit in the provision of My abundance. Provision that has already been prepared long ago, long before you came. And when you're full of rest, you're full of His grace. You're full of His ability and His provision, His might. It's here that as you rest, you will discover and experience more of His abundance if you sit in a place of rest. You will discover from a place of rest, you will receive greater abundance. In Matthew 14, 19, we see the greater abundance. Jesus taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to His Father in heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. 5,000 people were fed that day and more. And this is something we all need to remind ourselves of this morning, our Father's words in Matthew 6, verse 30 to 33. If God, my Father, gives such appearance and such attention to the appearance of the grass of the field, most of which is never even seen, don't you think He'll attend to you? Take pride in you. Do His best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. people who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. This is God, your Father, speaking these words of abundance into your life. You will achieve more in rest than you will achieve in running around. If you're struggling to find rest, recall the times he has provided for you. If you need healing today, find rest in your testimony. The grass you sit on today is your testimony. So we can value the journey. We can find the rest that he has made provision for. Because when we do this, we become present. Present in his presence. And we need to value the place of becoming present with our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 40, but Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister Mary, who's sitting at your feet, she's left me to do all this work by myself. You should tell her, Lord, she'll listen to you, to get up and start helping me. And the Lord answered her, Martha, my beloved Martha, what are you so upset and troubled by, pulled away by these many distractions? Are they really that important? To be present is to let go of what's keeping you out. For Martha, her task didn't have to keep her out of his presence. What is worth holding on to so tightly that keeps you from sitting at the feet of Jesus? Martha could have got what she really wanted by being present with what she really needed. Your Father cares for what it is that you're needing at the moment. You know, in doing so, we can be still, become present and hear from Jesus in front of us that is keeping us from the feet of Jesus. When faced with a wall in between us and where we want to be, we all have two choices that we have to contend with. When faced with a wall, what choice is it that you're going to be making? To retreat or to continue on the journey and ask God, what is this wall of task? What is this wall of busyness that is keeping me away from sitting at your feet and finding rest? God, how do I take this wall down? In the problem is always the answer. To retreat is to move into a place of becoming disappointed. It's a place of regret. But to move forward is to become present and to do what we think is impossible. God wants to do what is impossible to you. He wants to make possible in your life. What you learn to let go of in this season, what you learn to let go of and what you learn to hold on to will become the new foundations of your life that you're walking into. This is preparation now for the next season that God has for all of us. What we are learning in these moments will become our new foundations. Church, these are stepping stone moments, and they come to you from a place of rest, because it's in rest that you will achieve ever so more than what you could ever do in rushing around. This salvation is not one of works, it's one of grace, and we enter into his supply. Psalm 46:10 says this, be still, be calm, see and understand, I am the true God. In the Passion Translation, it says like this, surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see, church, that I am God. You know, the Hebrew word for be still means to cease striving, to cease now. It also means rest, and it also means healing. When you rest at His feet, you cease from striving. You enter into His supply of grace, and a place of healing starts to take place over your life. Be still and know I am God. In the midst of it all, God says, be at rest so that He can heal the storms in your life. That's why it says in Psalm 23, verse 4, who is your leader? The good shepherd. This morning, who is leading your journey? The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is leading your journey. And it says, the Lord is my best friend. That's who's leading your journey today, church. The Lord is my best friend. He is my shepherd, and I always have more than enough. He offers you a resting place in His luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where the word says He restores and He revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God, pleasure, God's pleasure, and leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to His name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valleys of the deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for Jesus, you already have. You remain close to me. You lead me through it all the way, Jesus. Your authority is my strength and it is my peace. The comfort of your love takes away your fear because you've already conquered me. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. God wants to bring healing to your life this morning. We can value His word. God wants us to value and be attentive, sit at His feet as we receive precious words from His lips today. We go on to verse 42 in Luke chapter 10. Mary, Jesus said to Martha, Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet, Martha. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. You know, distraction can be an enemy for us at times. So what do we do? What do you do when distraction comes into your life? What do we do? What does the Bible say? We eat. That's the answer. We eat. We feast at His table. To sit at a place of rest at the table with Him, we feast on His words as we are in His presence. God has made provision through His words that as you read His word, as you rest at His table, even though your enemies are around you, God says, feast at His table. Psalm 23, verses 5 to 6, let's read it. You become my delicious feast even when my enemies dare to fight. When that tension, when that frustration, when that distraction of the enemy comes around you, God says that His word is like a delicious feast to your soul. Even when you're surrounded by your enemies, even when they're fighting you, feast on God's word. It says, you anoint me as I eat your word, as I read your word. God, you're anointing me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. He's anointing you with His comfort. He's anointing you with His guidance and His counsel. The Holy Spirit anoints you with His fragrance. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness, listen to this, church, for your goodness and God's love pursues you all the days of your life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I will return, never to be separated. I will return to your glorious presence to be with you forever. Are you facing challenge this morning? Are you facing distraction where the desire of your heart is to sit at the feet of Jesus, but you can feel the enemy of fear, the enemy of anxiety surrounding you? God's word for you today, church, is to sit and to feast on His word. Because as you feed on His word, it's His power that's released through His word that defeats the enemies and the giants in your life. Amen, church. Amen. Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You should be feeding on God's words when your enemies are around you. We feed on His word to bring change. Don't neglect church. Don't neglect attending to the word of God. Don't neglect to feed and be attentive to the precious words of your Father this morning. Isaiah 55 says it like this: then His word that is alive is active. It starts working on behalf of us. Did you know that when you read God's word, when you feast on it, God's word is alive, it's active, and it starts working on behalf of us. His word releases power. And that's what brings the change. His words that you speak will never return void. Church, it'll accomplish everything it sets out to do. His word will not fail you. His word will not forsake you this morning. As you rest in His word this morning, He is taking those enemies of distraction around you. And that is the good news of the gospel this morning. That's the good news of the gospel. Every distraction that comes your way, don't contend to the distraction. Don't distract yourself by keeping busy. Feed on God's word this morning and watch God take down every enemy around you. You know, this morning, I'm reminded of myself during the week when I found myself late at night on the couch and I was struggling. And sometimes you don't realize how much you're struggling until you get to that top, that crisis point of the struggle. And as I was sitting there and, you know, I felt so low, I was really struggling. I felt fearful, but I also felt just so much self-condemnation. And I cried out to the Lord and I heard God, my Father, speak this to me. Naomi, when you look at yourself right now, you're seeing everything that you're not doing right. You're seeing everything that you're contending with me. But Naomi, I need to remind you this morning that when I look at you, all I see is my son, Jesus. And it is Him that I am well pleased. Naomi, I am well pleased with you this morning because all I see is Jesus. So church today, if you're struggling, we need to hear the word of a loving Father that says, don't bring that self-condemnation into you. What does Romans 8:1 say? Therefore now, those who we are in Christ Jesus, we don't have to see self-condemnation in us. There is no condemnation for those who love Christ Jesus this morning. So what does He want you to do? He wants you to fix your mind on the words of Jesus Christ, that when He sees you, He sees His Son, and it is you, your Father. He is well pleased in you this morning. You know, the next day I woke up just recalling those words over myself. God, when you see me, you see your Son. I'm everything I'm not doing right, but God, when you see me, you see your Son and you love me. Therefore, Naomi, you are worthy. You are lovely. And whatever is beautiful, fix your mind on these things. There's a scripture that says in the Bible, at daybreak, He will surprise you with His love. When I woke up the next morning, I was surprised by His love that I felt. I had been completely healed. I'd been completely restored. My confidence had risen because I heard the words of my Father and I could come to a place of rest. Church, you can come to a place of rest this morning. You can sit on the testimony of what God has done for you in your whole life. Sit on what He's already done to know of what He's going to do. Your Father, He loves you. And in closing, when you're going through a trial, look to Him. When you're going through tension, talk to Him. When you're going through struggle, sit with Him. In Psalm 121, it says this, God protects you this morning. I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection, it comes only from the Lord. Church, look up this morning because your true source of help comes from your loving Father. Who's the one that is leading you this morning in your journey? It's your Father who loves you, Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray for every single person here this morning. That Father, we will learn like Mary what it is to come into a true place of rest. That as we rest, we sit on the abundance and the provision that God has already made way for. That as we look into your face, the things of this world will grow strangely dim because, Lord, we see your light, we see your revelation, we hear clearly your words, and our life is refreshed and our life is changed. God, you are the good shepherd. You are the one who's leading us to a place of rest. Whom shall I fear when your love has truly conquered me? So we pray for every person this morning. We pray rest. Father, we pray rest through Monday to Saturday. We pray rest that we will be like Mary, sit attentively at the feet of Jesus. Be present in your presence and hear from our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You might say to me this morning, I don't know who this good shepherd is. I don't know who's leading my journey. You know this morning that you can invite the good shepherd who is Jesus Christ into your life. And as you invite him into your life, he will lead you all the days of your life. You know what Psalm 23 says? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. When you invite Jesus into your life, goodness and mercy will follow you forevermore. And it says it like this in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you're watching this morning and you want to invite Jesus to lead your journey, if you want goodness and mercy to be following you and that you can experience this love of a Father, I'm going to invite you to say this prayer after me because that's what the Bible says. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God says you'll be saved. You will know the Good Shepherd. You will know the one who loves you and wants you to experience this love. Church, why don't you join with me in this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I declare that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart today that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. And because of this, I can now have Jesus in my life. Amen. This morning, if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, you're going to need the Word of God. And if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, we're going to actually connect you to have a Bible for yourself where you can hear the living, the active Word of God for your own life. We don't want to just keep you at a decision. We want to show you what to do in your journey. And if you go to that link, it'll give you all the information that it is that you're looking for. Well, God bless you, church. We're going to come into a time of worship now. And this week, be encouraged. Sit at the feet of Jesus. You're going to hear His word this week. It's going to restore your health back to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church.